80 years ago, as Jewish refugees fled Russia and Germany, one of the few places that allowed them to come was Shanghai, China. I'm Colleen Phelps, and this is Classically Speaking. Jews were already leaving Germany and Austria after the passage of the Nuremberg Laws, but after Kristallnacht in 1938, there was a new urgency. Countries like the United States and Canada, for the most part, closed their borders. As future politician Chaim Weizmann put it, the world seemed to be divided into two parts, those places where Jews could not live and those where they could not enter. But then there was Shanghai, because Shanghai was actually occupied by Japan and parts of it had international concessions, the port city was allowing people to go in and out without passports. It was a loophole that saved thousands. After the attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941, Japanese authorities tightened their grip on Chinese cities, the result being that about 20,000 Jewish refugees were suddenly restricted to a district of Shanghai that measured 3/4 of a mile. By 1957, after the ghettos had been liberated and the State of Israel formed, only about 100 remained. Composer Wu Fei, who's Chinese herself, had never heard this story growing up. In fact, before doing the research that led her to compose her requiem for this community, she had never heard the word ghetto.
I found out a documentary film about that period called Shanghai Ghetto. At that time, I was a music student. I had been in the States for quite a few years. I also didn't have the concept of what ghetto really means, especially linking to the Jewish culture. So I checked out the film, and that's when I found out about this heavy history.
And you might be thinking, oh, okay, she was so moved and inspired by this story that she ran home and immediately started composing the piece. No. Years went by. Fei released her debut classical album, she moved back to China, she got married, had kids, and then moved her family to Nashville in 2015.
You just don't think about, oh, I learned something and I'm going to write a concerto for it. It just doesn't happen that way. You know, it's been there. It's like I have a bank in the back of my mind. And so, and then, boom, the deposit, it started to, you know, grow out of me. Years later, I met my husband, who's a South African Jewish man. And so marrying into a Jewish family, learning and hearing the personal family story, history of the suffering from that time, it has put so much depth, so much more depth into my personal feelings toward the story, rather than just reading from the books and watching a documentary film.
The trigger, the bunk, as she says, was a chamber music ensemble called Chatterbird, and a grant opportunity from the MAP Fund, which is specifically for performance projects that focus on creating an equitable society. Wu Fei came up with a long-form piece of music telling the story of the Shanghai Ghetto, and she already had a title inspired by the eventual migration of some of these refugees to California. Hello, Gold Mountain.
In Chinese, San Francisco is Old Gold Mountain. 旧金山, Old Gold Mountain. San Francisco and Gold Mountain was a big place for most Chinese immigrants who came to the States during the Gold Rush and building the railroad from the West Coast side. And so it really covers the story from very different spectrums in time. This fact, how the two cultures growing into together, becoming one, and then symbolizes a big part of what San Francisco is about, or even California. have met many of the current refugees who have come to Nashville. And so I felt Nashville, to many of them, to all of them, is their gold mountain. I think in throughout history, the immortal pieces music that will long-lasting is you're not just touching yourself's heart. You've been touched by others, and then therefore the thing will come out 1,000 times greater.
Fei uses the instrumentation of Hello Gold Mountain as a way to represent the cultures that came together in Shanghai. The oud, a Middle Eastern instrument, is used to represent Jewish music. Fei plays guzheng, the traditional Chinese instrument she grew up playing. It has 20-something strings that she can pluck and bend. She refers to it as a Chinese zither.
So that's what it sounds like.
The ensemble, a chamber orchestra behind the soloists, is one you would find in the Second Viennese School, the 12-tone serialism that was pioneered really between the two world wars. The same group of players could play a variety of classical and avant-garde chamber music, but in this piece, they also improvise, guided by Fei, and even quote klezmer music.
The instruments in Hello Gold Mountain, one is the guzheng, is the one that I've been playing, and it's from ancient China, but it's all over Asia. You see there's Japanese version, Korean version, Mongolia, Vietnam, Thailand, Indonesia. And then the oud is, you see the Jewish version of oud, Arabic oud, Turkish oud, North African oud, the Eastern European oud, and Central Asia. And it's not just the instrument from one village, it's that they've traveled throughout, because the history is so long, they traveled all over the expanded regions at their continent, basically. Wherever they can reach to, and they will travel that far until they can't travel anymore. And I just felt the two instruments really resonance from so many parts of the world. And the classical music instruments also come from Western, mostly European culture. That's where also the most Jewish refugees who fled to Shanghai, that's the peak of their life and their music. They were listening to, you know, Johann Strauss and all the very, very beautiful, glorious Western classical music culture. It was at that time happening right in Vienna and Berlin.
I was struck by your quote on the Map Fund page. What musical possibilities were lost because the times did not allow neighbors from different cultures to grow old together, sharing songs and stories? Now that you've done the research and had time to process through that, what do you think was lost?
There's so much. Just, you know, cooking together and making music together.
I was just about to say food. I think there's probably so many lost culinary.
Oh, tell me about it. You know, cool, new, invented spices that mix together. It's like the next big sauce. And both the Jewish culture and the Chinese culture historically were known for, you know, being very, very innovative, the very also, you know, math-oriented people. And, you know, there could be, who knows, endless of possibilities, not just the music. Just human nature needing to share. And that's it. Even if we had just like a few buckets, we can make good music. about time, what will be the only thing that will last, will bring justice back, is humanity. And there's nothing else there, really, if we look back. A big hope that I've had while writing this piece, even for my children, for my friends' children, for many people's children, what can we leave to them? How do we raise them?
NDI Classical hosted Chatterbird and Wu Fei for a preview of Hello Gold Mountain on our show Live in Studio C in early 2019. And we invited local Rabbi Mark Shifton to sit in. Rabbi Shifton's parents met and married in the Shanghai ghetto. They later moved to San Francisco, finding the literal Gold Mountain.
To hear these tones and the spirit and the sentiment they evoke is incredibly poignant and touching to me. And the fact of the matter is, as it was for my parents fleeing from imminent danger and harm, this forms a bridge to today. No one leaves their homeland by choice. They leave it by and large because what they fear there is even more fearful and dangerous to them than making the journey to the unknown. And yet, at some point, that journey becomes more important, more crucial to their survival and the survival of their children than anything else. So to make that bridge from decades ago to today is most touching and most prescient in terms of where we are as a nation today as well.
Return from our break, Hu Zheng meets orchestra, Chinese dress meets cowboy boots, and noodles meet cheeseburger. To compose a piece like Hello Gold Mountain, composer Wu Fei drew on a variety of musical traditions. And while many composers cross genres, Fei takes a particular pride in this act, describing it as the product of not only her travels, but also her general thirst for knowledge.
I don't really think of myself as what I represent, what I look like, and I like my Chinese dress, but I also like, you know, cowboy boots. So it's just whatever I'm in the mood. Today I want to have a hamburger, but tomorrow I want to have nice noodles. I've been a curious person, very fascinated by different cultures and language since I was a kid. They've been part of who I am and my upbringing. I've studied Western classical. I've studied Chinese traditional from different provinces, and the singing more the elegant way, more the very like metal-ish way from ancient style. And I love, you know, metal bands. My life has been some like a journey of always learning something new. So that just all kind of come together.
Composers who go to conservatory generally spend a lot of time at the piano. That's not always the case, but it's fairly compulsory at most music schools, and Wu Fei was no exception. But her main instrument, the guzheng, is a traditional Chinese instrument, not part of the symphony orchestra. So I wondered if that was ever limiting or frustrating to her as a composer.
Did anyone ever warn you that's going to hold you back?
No, what happened was the total opposite. In China, during the Chinese conservatory years, most of my colleagues, my classmates, didn't even know I played guzheng. I didn't play the guzheng for five solid years because your main instrument needs to be piano. So you do piano exams and recitals. So really, no one knew I played the guzheng. For the kids who went to school with me for 5 years didn't know I played the guzheng at all. Until I came to the States. I thought, I need to bring some because I didn't know when I would go back to China. So I need to bring something with me. So I brought the guzheng that I grew up with and with me. And that's the only piece I brought besides some clothes and some scores. So the score, the guzheng, and some clothes. Because North Texas actually is a very large music school, has a very large music school, has like Western African ensemble, Indian raga group. And then I said, I have a different instrument. And I decided to bring the instrument and to play. And as soon as I brought the guzheng out, the whole school just flipped, and then they loved it. And then I started to include the compositions that always had a guzheng in it, and I started to get invitation to even go to Cincinnati to attend a composer conference where I met the Frederick Zhevsky, who advised me to go to Mills, because of my guzheng. I completely changed my life. If I had stuck with the piano, I'm not sure.
Does guzheng tune the way an orchestra does? It's not.
It is. Guzheng can play a concerto with orchestra or piano with any Western classical instruments. It's usually tuned in pentatonic. It doesn't have the fourth or the seventh degree in the key. However, guzheng has 21 strings. You can tune it to where the pitches you want. But you're always going to miss a few. But that's fine. And because of that, it creates this really interesting scale and flavor.
So do you adjust yours during a concert?
Sometimes. And if it gets tricky, then I can just, use the top 10 strings in one scale and middle 5 to another scale, and then lower to another scale. So I could tune them in a way that I could totally just use them however I want. That's when I think I really appreciate my composition training, is that you turn something that's only can play one thing to an unlimited approach.
When Faye says unlimited, she means it. Yali Da is one of Faye's earlier compositions for Chatterbird, along with friends Abigail Washburn and Kai Welch. The words are similar to saying la-di-da in English. Once again, the mixture of instruments sounds even slightly bizarre on paper. Banjo, piano, guzheng, pipa, bassoon, violin, cello, bass, percussion. But they come together just fine. Why worry? Yali Da. Put improvisation into the mix for the group, and that's really a cornerstone of your playing. For an American conservatory trained musician, that's sometimes a surprise to see in a score. Hey, here, we're going to improvise here. Does that tool in your tool belt come from the traditional guzheng playing, or was that part of your later classical training?
It comes from later, primarily from my time at Mills College. There was some kind of improvisation structure within the traditional Chinese music form, but you cannot change the tempo, you cannot change the timing and how many counts. So now I see there was some kind of improvisation going on, but it's entirely different than, I would say, from the jazz approach and the free improvisation approach, just to play, you know, whatever you feel like it and create your own voice. You have to still have a greater purpose to serve. So after I came to Mills College, that's I had the biggest confusion in my life about why am I here? What am I doing here? Why am I going to school with people who don't even read music? You know, like why are? But after I had that realization that I abandoned the handcuff, I was allowed to be myself. No, classical composers like Mozart was an improviser, Chopin, Franz Liszt, they were all master improvisers. We have a saying in China, is 心到手到，手到心到, which means heart is there, fingers are there. And when fingers are there, your heart is there. So they're at the same time. So once you reach that level, there's nothing you can't do.
Classically Speaking is a production of Nashville Public Radio's 91 Classical. The show is edited by Anita Bogg. Some of the music came from Chatterbird's performance of Hello Gold Mountain on Live in Studio C. The engineer for that program is Carl Peterson. Other music came from Chatterbird performances, including the premiere of Hello Gold Mountain in February of 2019 and a concert in January of 2018. You can listen to Classically Speaking for free anytime on your favorite podcasting app and on 91classical.org. Rate us, review us, or join in the conversation on our Facebook page or our Twitter page. We're at 91classical. I'm Colleen Phelps. Thanks for enjoying your backstage pass to Nashville's classical music. Classically Speaking.